That's right, welcome to The Pulse, bringing you the latest news in the music world and fresh new music. I'm your host, Off Neo Ting. This week on the show, I'll be dishing out another batch of tracks that you might have missed. I've got new ones from New Guinea, Boy Pablo, Maddie J, and more. And then on our quickfire news segment, by the way, gonna bring you stories about Drake dropping his surprise album. Might be talking a bit about Beyonce's new single, Fortet, settling his royalty dispute with Domino Records, and an update on major labels and streaming royalties. All that coming your way, so do keep it locked right here on BFM 89.9. But before we get to that, Kyoto Protocol has just put out a brand new single. It's the third release following Nothing Lasts Forever and Faded Lights. It's a brand new one called The Best I Ever Had, and it's an extra special one for Kyoto Protocol, more specifically Fuad, the lead singer, as it was used for his proposal song.
Did it to myself. This is part and parcel.
Right now, joining me on the show is Fuad from Kyoto Protocol. Hey, man.
Hey.
How's it going?
Back on BFM. It's been a long time.
So, The Best I Ever Had. The song starts off with the bass line. And if I'm not wrong, you had that bass line in your phone for about 2 years prior to writing the song. What clicked after 2 years?
Actually, it didn't take 2 years to write the song. I think maybe it took about a year or so. But there were a bunch of other songs that we were creating at the same time. So we had to put them in the right order to make sure, like, okay, we're putting our best foot forward and we didn't want to go guns a-blazing, so to speak. So that's why we decided to order the singles in the manner that we did. The first being Nothing Lasts Forever, and the second being Faded Lights, and then the last, and in my opinion, is the best of the bunch, is The Best I Ever Had.
And it, of course, it's extra special because for those that do not know, this was your proposal song.
Yes, that's right. I used this song as part of my proposal. I proposed to my fiance on Valentine's Day. I brought along a little Bluetooth speaker with me to our trip, and I loaded up a -1 version of the song. So after we were done with dinner, we were back in the hotel room. I put on the song and I sang to it live. I guess she's the first person to hear it live, apart from the band, obviously. And then at the end of the, you know how it has this trailing outro? That's when I got down on one knee and asked her to marry me.
Yeah. We'll get into that trailing outro in just a bit. But what was it about that bass line that inspired you to write a song that would end up becoming your proposal song? Or do you not know, you know, was it just like in the process of writing and you're like, hey, you know, I could make this a proposal song?
Yeah, so it's more towards the latter suggestion that you made. And that's being like, okay, I had this bass line. To me, it was right up my alley in terms of the kind of music that I want to make. Obviously, I think if we look back at KP, we've gone through a little bit or a lot of evolution, depending on who you're asking, from our first album to say like The Pen Is Mightier, where we moved a lot more towards like that post-punk revival kind of sound. And I felt like, whoa, this is just the bass line alone, just gave me this feeling like we're marrying kind of the old and new Kyoto Protocol together on this. Mm. So it was, at the same time, it's kind of like The Strokes, but it's also kind of similar rock and roll territory, throwback territory that we used to do in the past, like KL I Love You and that kind of stuff. Mm. So yeah, that bass line, I just thought, oh, this is going to be so much fun. And I can just imagine what comes next. And I think I had to piece it carefully, I would say. So yeah, after that bass line, I thought, okay, we need to have an explosion of happy sounding guitars and stuff. So that's why after that, immediately you've got this another 4 bars passage with the saccharine guitars, I would say. Yeah. So then slowly just building upon the song and everything, I would say this is typically, or maybe like this is the majority of Kyoto Protocol songs, where we have the music and the melody first before we come up with the lyrics. So yeah, at this point where we had the background music and what is kind of supposed to be the melody, the structure was all kind of set. And then we figured, oh, okay, I'm starting to get a sense for what this song may be about. And for all those who are wondering, and I, of course, I get this a lot, oh, the song's called Best I've Ever Had, makes me think of Drake. That's one. And maybe the people from the older crowd, when I say Best I've Ever Had, they go, oh, Vertical Horizon, which gives away their age. But I'm a huge fan of that Drake song, Best I've Ever Had. I actually think it's the best song that he's ever done.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the best song that he's ever done. So, like, I always kind of like that vibe. So I guess in a way you could say I was influenced by Drake on this track.
Wow.
So like, okay, Best I've Ever Had. So I had to think, okay, who is the best I ever had? And it's definitely my current relationship. And, you know, I've never proposed to anybody else. So there you go.
You know, for those that don't really know the timeline of how this song came to be, you know, stereotypically, proposal songs are usually very John Legend, All of Me, slow ballad style, right? But not this track. So I really love how you guys did not change that Kyoto Protocol rock sound just for this track.
That's a very keen observation that I didn't put together myself, you know. It was just the music kind of spoke to me and just said, like, yeah, this is like happy vibe. You know, if you're announcing that something's the best I ever had, you just want to feel in a zone where you're just like pure happiness. And I guess in that state, it was a sign, you know. The first thing that I thought of was is my fiance. So to me, I think it just made perfect sense. But yeah, now that you talk about it, it's like, yeah, you immediately think of John Legend and that kind of stuff.
Your now fiance has always wanted a song written about her, right?
Yes,
I guess this
absolutely
was a gift to her. It was natural as well to have a song that's very Kyoto Protocol instead of something that would specifically suit a proposal song, because it's a mixture of the current and early Kyoto Protocol sounds.
Yeah, again, another very good observation that I never really noticed myself, actually. And I guess, you know, she was hearing a lot of those songs. I think some of her, my fiance's favorite Kyoto Protocol songs, unfortunately, were like the breakup songs. So like Guilty Plea, Now You're Gone, all that kind of stuff. And at first, like, as most music lovers, I suspect, myself included, sometimes you just really vibe with like the emotion and you don't really get into the lyrics just yet. And then suddenly she starts reading the lyrics, it's like, oh, I see, this is a breakup song. Or at least, you know, she's aware that, oh, there's quite a few songs about past relationships and stuff like that. So, you know, I guess once she made that comment, oh, I see, I knew that this is coming. I knew that eventually she started asking me, like, hey, where's my song? Where's my song? And we have this very deadpan way of talking to each other. She goes, hey, where's my song? And I go, you think it's so easy to make song? Need to be organic, okay? That kind of stuff. So that's literally how we are in private. And actually, imagine, like, the past 1 year, I already knew that this song was coming and it was out and about. And this is maybe the part that I wasn't sure was when to do the reveal. Was it during her birthday or what? You know, so I figured maybe the best time would be the proposal. I did a checklist and knocked off the ones that kind of didn't fit. And yeah, lyrically and everything, I think everything just kind of fell into place.
Yeah. I want to talk about that sweet, jammy instrumental towards the last few seconds of the track. Was that initially done to serve as a sound bait while you popped the question?
Actually, not at all. we kind of wanted to pull a Queen. Where I think in some of their songs, they have these either interludes or parts that kind of link to another and stuff like that. And I think what we were trying to go for, of course, it never ended up that way, was Somebody to Love, where it's actually the beginning that's very different. So you have this piano overture. Anybody find me? So something like that, just like something to link the two. And maybe, yes, it didn't sound like that exactly in the end. And the first draft of what we had was actually also very piano driven, slide guitars and stuff there. But we felt like it's pretty strange. Like, it didn't kind of mesh. So instead, we worked out a different version where I get to show off a bit more of my jazz chops. So I guess that was a very long answer to you. What could have been a short answer, which is, no, the part came first, and then I realized that, hey, this is a good part to use as a proposal bit later.
but it also serves as a good reward, I would say, for listeners that have stayed to the end of the track, because it could very well be another track and it's something that you wish wouldn't fade out, but it does, and it forces people to repeat the song again.
Well, I'm glad that it has that effect. I mean, in the world of Spotify and all that kind of stuff, I have to admit, we have been swayed to understand how people are consuming music nowadays. That's why we've put out a lot more standalone singles in compared to in the past. We haven't announced an album yet. We don't know if these guys all fit together in an album or not. And another key element was that we figured that we should try and find a way to make our songs a bit more concise. Mm. A lot of times our songs, even though they were very fast-paced, you're talking about running close to 140 BPM, would be going at 4 minutes, which is, you know, compared to a regular song, that's maybe like, to recontextualize, that'll be 5 minutes, 6 minutes for that kind of song.
Mm.
So, you know, I think we found a way to kind of marry both, I guess. Mm. We made something that was quite concise. It's quite fast-paced, so I think even without the trailing bit, it works out to be 2 minutes or so.
Mm.
So with the trailing bit, it just fits at 3 minutes, which I think is a bit heftier for a standalone single. And I'm glad that our intention kind of worked out. Like, you have something kind of an Easter egg to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Since we're talking about proposals, marriage and all that jazz, as a band, you know, you guys have had the same lineup since day one. You could say it's been a long marriage among all band members, right? And it's something that most bands take for granted because some bands don't even last past 5 shows, right? So this next one is a bit of a cheesy kind of basic question, but what would you say is the band's secret for staying together throughout the years?
That's a very good question, man. And I can't say that we've been without our problems either, to be very honest with you. We do face our challenges and they grow as time passes by. And I think what keeps us together is, I don't know, sometimes, you know, old married couples, they bicker, but then they still sit next to each other and read newspaper.
Yeah.
We might be at that phase right now, I feel. But it's also, what anchors us, I think, is we've grown into our responsibilities. And I feel like, yes, definitely there's more that we can grow into. But say, you know, we have Kyoto Studios now.
Mm.
Which is a place for us to really be kind of free artistically without really thinking about being on the clock. And it dovetails very well with the kind of setup that I have at home. I do most of my songwriting at home or on voice notes as per the, you know, the baseline for Best I've Ever Had. There's a voice note on my Samsung phone. So it dovetails well with the fact that, okay, I can come up with some one or two tracks at home. I send the WAV file to Shaq. Shaq can go in the studio, we can jam next to it, we can figure out the BPM, we can really work things out artistically. So it's nice to see that some of the things have definitely gotten easier as we've gained more experience in this game.
Hmm.
But as mentioned, of course, there are other forces that come about. People move on with life, we get more and more responsibility. It hasn't been easy. Yeah, it hasn't been easy, but at the end of the day, I think it's the love of music that really pushes us through.
Well said, man. Now, before I forget, there's a music video as well for The Best I Ever Had, and it's dropping on the 23rd of June at 9 p.m.
Yes, be prepared for a ball of a time. be prepared to be surprised. Let's put it that way. Because I think, obviously, I think at this point it's quite well known what the song is about. The proposal and all that kind of stuff. All I'm saying is, if you're expecting like a romantic video, maybe check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Okay. Something to look forward to. 23rd, it's a Thursday.
That's right. It's a Thursday. We tend to do our releases on Thursday because, you know, I guess we're all big fans of Hollywood. And if they're doing their premieres on Thursday, I guess, yeah, we should as well.
So this Thursday, 23rd of June at 9 p.m. Now, the band will be playing a show at Rex KL on July 9th as well. The show is called Undercurrent. It's organized by Breaking Music. And a portion of all tickets sales will be donated to Mercy Malaysia in aid of flood victims. They'll be joined by Midnight Fusic, The Peach Skins, and Resort on the lineup. Will you miss virtual shows?
Good riddance. I say that with being tongue in cheek. There are some instances where it can really work out. What I'm super grateful for, it's of the past 2 years, I think it's accelerated video content, or at least people's willingness to consume video content. And maybe, yeah, we're a bit late to the game, but, you know, all this stuff about being on video, dancing, wearing funny outfits, that's something we did in 2010, baby. It's Pussycat video right there. So you know, I'm telling the guys, hey, this TikTok thing isn't too different from what we used to do in the past. We went shuffling on Changkat on a busy night.
Bringing the instruments like in the middle of the road and all that, right?
Exactly. So yeah, it's something that I kind of look forward to, actually, this whole new revolution in terms of how people consume.
But for live shows, I'm sure it's the bread and butter of the Kyoto Protocol experience, I would say. You know, you got to experience them live.
Thank you. Yes. And that's something we've been very grateful to receive over our 12-year career, that everyone says that, oh, you know what, I hear the CD and it's all right, but really watching you guys live is where it's at. And I hope that we can keep it going. It's not that easy when we're 38 years old.
Approaching the veteran age group, would you say?
Gosh, I suppose we are, right? especially in music, where I guess youth is prized in many quarters, not all quarters. It's good to see people like Elton John, you know, still can command like the thousands or ten thousands of crowd that they do. Say the Foo Fighters still doing what they do. Not saying that we're anywhere near them, but yeah, if we can get even like 1% of what they do, we'd be very, very happy. Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure the best I ever had will be played live at the show. Any new songs that we can expect?
No, it's pretty much the best I've ever had. And I think we also didn't get a lot of chance to play our second single, because I think that was really a wash amidst the MCOs. And that was Faded Lights, which, in my opinion, I think it's an improved version of Now You're Gone. Didn't really write it out to be that way, but I just feel like it kind of fits that vibe a lot better. And, you know, I think we were, as a band, we were just missing good old Coldplay song, so I think we kind of wrote one of our take on it, essentially. So yeah, it'll just be a good time to play like a proper full set again. Looking forward to seeing everybody out there in the crowd. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. Well, Fuad, thank you so much for speaking to me. Congrats once again on that proposal, and all the best for the show.
Thank you very, very much, and once again, thanks for having us on BFM. It's always a pleasure.
Right after this, gonna play you some tunes that might have slipped past your radar. But before we head to our first break of the hour, here's Kyoto Protocol with their latest track. It's called The Best I Ever Had. Only here on The Pulse, with me, Off Knitting, BFM 89.9.
Myself. This is possible.